there's an Antichrist spirit. This spirit is taking all the emphasis and all the focus off of Christ and putting it on a lot of other things in the church. But one of the things most messed up in the church today is this balance between living a life just like the world and the other extreme of legalistic teaching, which if you don't live a perfectly holy life or whatever, you're just basically going to hell. There's a big mess up in between both of those extremes, and navigating through it is very difficult. In your own personal life, the devil will mess up with your brain and your heart's thinking and mind more than you think on this subject. You trip up and mess up, and there's verses in the Bible that can condemn you forever. There's verses in the Bible that if you don't know how to put them in their context and don't know exactly what they're trying to tell you, without changing the meaning of them, destroy your faith. Whereas on the other end, there are scriptures in the Bible that if you go by and live only by those, you will live a life of sin and fleshliness and think that everything's cool and okay because God is a God of grace and mercy and it doesn't matter anymore. We've got all of this happening in the church today, and so we've got a huge portion of the church that doesn't really believe in the cross and repentance. They don't believe in the fact that we should bring things to the light. They don't believe that we should walk in the light as He is in the light. They don't believe that condemnation comes because we don't want our deeds known. Well, He says in John 3:18 that, you know, those that are of the light come to the light because they want their deeds known. Well, some people are against even confession going on in church that's public so that somebody else gets in on what you're doing. And so we hide everything and walk and even get upset at people that pray over us, things that are a little bit too specific. And when it comes to these issues that are so important in God, we've got some people that disdain all of those things that 100 years ago were so hallowed. But what happened is that when people stuck with that so long, it brought a legalistic, heavy doctrine of gospel that was impossible to live under. And so people just lived sweeping things under the carpet like they didn't exist, because if they did make them exist, there was no answer for them. And nobody dared tell anybody else their shortcomings because it would be megaphoned around the world. In fact, Even telephone and television programs used to air your garbage across the world. Like with Jimmy Swaggart, and should we mention all of them? Just mass media, you know, of both Christians and non-Christians. As much dirt as we can find on people, splattered out for the world to see. And so we've got, on one hand, people that are super secretive because there's nobody they can trust to confess something that they want to confess and bring it out in the open and get it dealt with. On the other hand, we have people that can't keep a secret and take it to God and value it as something crucially important for your life to get through. We need people that we can go to and bring things out in the open. But who can you trust? Nobody. Because they'll take what you do and splatter it across the world. And so all they do is set you back for 10 years trying to get over all that mess until you finally find your way in God. I have been exorcised by religious spirits, by religious people, and by demons enough so that I've had to find the answers for myself. And I've had to navigate through the whole Bible and realize that to navigate through the Bible finding answers isn't easy. First of all, the enemy sets up strongholds in our mind, and by that I mean he locks your mind into a certain form of seeing things, and you cannot see them another way. And it takes another way to set you free. In other words, if you still stay with what's locked into your brain, you'll never find your way out. It's like there is a way out of this labyrinth. You're in the middle of it, but you're not finding your way out because you're trying the same mirror over and over. You need to switch directions, but something in your mind tells you that that mirror you keep bumping into is the way. It is not the way. It's not going to lead you to the way. You're not going to get out that way. There has to be something that happens inside of you that lets you know that is not the way to walk in. You'll not find your freedom there. That is not the truth. The truth is splattered in the midst of all of it. Is the truth only in the New Testament and not the Old Testament? No, that is not true. Is there enough in the New Testament to condemn you forever even as a Christian? Oh, yes. Is there enough in the Old Testament to condemn you forever even as a Christian? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Is there enough to be so liberating that you wonder, which do I read? Which do I lay hold of? This portion of the Old Testament or this one? Do I lay hold of that one or do I lay hold of this one? Is there any that makes sense from beginning to end? Is there a theme that navigates through the Bible here, there, and somewhere else and jumps over a book and goes to the next and jumps over one verse and goes to 20 later and then goes to the next book? Is there a path charted in the Bible that you can find and discover to finally find your way? Question, is there? Yes, there is the answer. Have some found it? Yes, but few. Jesus himself said, few there are that find it. For broad is the way. Let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians on the broad way because the way is narrow. On the one hand, you can't live just a life of sin and pretend like nothing happened. On the other side, you can't just pretend like you don't sin. How do you deal with the fact that sin still exists? Where do you stuff it? In what closet do you shove it? Do you shove it in the closet? Or do you just live with it and give up like a lot of Christians have? So that what it does is erode the only thing that keeps you on the way. I have discovered that the way, the path, has sign markers all along the way. It, you know, like street markers on every corner. It'll tell you what street it is. There's many ways. There's a broad avenue of ways, and often this comes this road, that way in the Bible, and you wonder, which is the way? How do I find my way? How do I find the way of God in the Bible? Through all this mess that's there and through all the good that's there. Well, I've been discovering lately that there's signposts, but there's only one that marks the way that will lead you to life from the beginning to the end. Every time you come to a place where you don't understand, where there's confusion, where there's a fork in the way, where the enemy's telling you this, life is telling you this, your parents are telling you this, your church may be showing you this, and you're confused and you're in the middle and don't know which is the way, and you start turning here and turning there, and before you know it, you're lost. In God, in the Bible, there's always a sign. Do you know what's on that sign? Faith. It says faith. How will the just live? By his faith. So, I would like to apply this faith message to this business of sin and righteousness and right standing with God. Anytime you get messed up, look for the signpost of faith. That'll take you to where we're headed. Because there is no other solid rock, there is no other solid foundation than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And so faith in God's finished work. You say faith. Faith makes it really simple. Now, if I enlarge it a little bit, it's faith in God's finished work. That's the only thing that's going to keep you all the way to death and make it. That will keep you on the road. And so, if you'll just keep it that simple and realize that that's as simple as it gets to walk with God, regardless of how lost you feel, if you'll just come back there, faith in God's finished work. And if we hang on to that, you will find that though the labyrinth gets very complicated and you lose the way, you still know what the street is called, and so you can always ask and get back there. You can always go to the Bible and search for it. It wouldn't matter what you're reading, you're not looking for the word faith, you're looking for the word that will establish faith. In thee, O Lord, Psalm 31, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliver me in thy righteousness. That is an interesting little verse. But you know, one of the things we confuse the most in our life is this thing of where the law fits in all of this. How much does the law have to do in your life? The purpose of the law, one of the purposes of the law, is to make sure I stay in Christ. And anytime I get out or away from Christ, I'm going to have the law immediately chasing me back. A sheepdog herds the sheep back to the fold, right? They can be nasty sometimes. They can scare you sometimes. But what's their purpose? Bring you back to the shepherd. Okay, let's pretend for a minute that instead of a sheepdog, we're talking about the law. The law of God. Because if God doesn't need the law anymore and he did away with it, then why did he keep it written? Well, you know, the Bible was written to billions of people. It wasn't all written just to you. You got to find out which portion was for you. When I was a sinner before I knew God, there's a lot of stuff in here that was for sinners and for the world and for people going to hell that was for me too. Do you know the people that have more problem with the law than anybody else? The self-righteous, legalistic, holier-than-thou people. Because they're not in Christ. They're not enjoying his righteousness that has to be imputed by you. Shame on you. Shame on me. We couldn't do it. We couldn't make it. So now we have to wear somebody else's coat. We wore ours out. We tore it up. We're nasty dogs. We so made it filthy. We so fouled it up that not even a machine can wash it out. So what does God have to do? That's why he left it here. Because some of us go astray. What does going astray mean? That we quit living by faith in his finished work and we're back again trying to please God some other way. So what is the end of the law? When you get back to Christ. That's why the Bible says Christ is the end of the law. So if you want to know why God left so many terrifying things here, it's because he wants you to stay in Christ. First of all, he wants you to find him. He wants the law to make it so bad for you that you want to go nowhere else but to Christ. How the world can endure this? Do you know how they can get by this? Because they don't believe. You have to embark on the highway because this law, whether they want to read it or not, whether they want to believe it or not, still stands in heaven against them and will someday condemn them. The law will condemn us too. It'll condemn anybody that's not in Christ. And that doesn't stay in Christ. The moment you come out of Christ, start walking on your own, try to please God on your own, just sin like there's no tomorrow and God doesn't care. Really. One day you're just going to be doing your devotion and it's just slap on the face and, oh my God, what's happening here? I can shut the Bible. I won't read it anymore. Look, you cannot read it. You cannot look at the signpost. But you've already taken a road that's not the right one. You need to come back. So now, I don't want to come back to God because I fear him. Really? Really? This angry God? Do you know why God is angry? Because we won't take the road of faith to Christ. That's the only thing that angers him. When we live too long just living like God doesn't care and he doesn't see, that's a problem. Because now he's heaping up all these words against you. Are they against us? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're there. The purpose of the law is to destroy the wicked that refuse to come into Christ. And the law is in place still to this day to keep you in Christ and to make it very miserable for you when you're out. So that you want to come running back to Christ, however mad you think he is. Okay, now do you know what mad, however mad you think he is? It's a mirror in the labyrinth you keep banging against. It's just a mirror. God is not angry. God's anger finished at the cross. He is no longer angry with anybody, except those that refuse to stay in Christ. And faith is the simple way Just follow the road signs that say faith in the Bible, and you will find the ways that lead you to God. Now, I want to deal with the law a little bit this morning, and I just want us to see how the law lines up and what God says about the law. And all along, you're going to discover that the further we get into this, the more you're going to see the words, His righteousness, popping. His works, because remember, it's faith in His finished work. I think that before you're through, you're going to really enjoy it. But one thing is to know about it, and the other thing is to walk it. So let's start the journey. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians 3:7. Now, I want to tell you before I get started that I'm going to go like from Revelation back to Genesis, and then go to Job, and then jump over there into Romans, and then go back and pick up Exodus, and then leave Exodus and go back to Hebrews. The person I call Jehovah Sneaky, if you follow his road map, it doesn't go from Genesis to Exodus. And here we're just, you know, we're following a road and can't find our way. And his way is to go from here to there, from there to there, from here to there, from there to there, all backwards and forwards and crisscross. And it's just a labyrinth of mess, but it is a way, and you can find it. And so if you find that I'm doing that, and I'll go to Romans 8, for example, and give you the last two verses, and then I'll go back to Romans 8, just back to back, and give you the first two, and then after that, give you the ones in the middle, and then go to Romans 5 and do the same thing, or go to Hebrews or Corinthians, or I'll go to 1 Corinthians, and the next verse will be 2 Corinthians, then I'm back to 1 Corinthians where we left off, and you're saying, what's this guy doing? I'm telling you what I'm doing. I walk this path, and I just happen to charter it. So if you'll walk it with me, you'll understand how clear it is in the end. 2 Corinthians 3:7. Now, if the dispensation of death, King James calls it the ministration of death, engraved in letters of stone, the ministration of the law, that is the Ten Commandments on stone, was inaugurated with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look steadily on the face of Moses because of his brilliance, that is, a glory that was there, that was to fade and pass away, because today both he and the glory are gone. Verse 8, the next one. How shall not the ministration of the Holy Spirit be rather more glorious, that is, be attended with much greater and more splendid glory? Verse 9. For if the law of condemnation had glory, how infinitely more abounding in splendor and glory must the ministration of righteousness be by the Holy Ghost? Indeed, verse 10, in view of this fact, what once had splendor, the glory of the law on the face of Moses, has come to have no splendor at all now because of the overwhelming glory that exceeds it, the glory of the gospel in the face of Christ Jesus. I want to stop here for just a minute so that you get a true picture of this. Have you ever noticed how the lights on your car, your headlights, allow you to see so well at night? But how about day? When it's day, how many of you have left your headlights on, even your high beams on, and unless you're looking down at your dash to see if there's a little blue or green or red light letting you know that they're on, you don't even know that they're on. You know why? Because the glory of your headlights at night disappeared in the essence or in the atmosphere of the glory that was far greater. And what he's saying is that the glory of the law, the essence of the presence of God, the nearness of God, the glory of God that was involved in the law was like the headlights of a car at night. But when this other glory of the finished work of Christ, the glory that was ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, not only had a better mediator, but had a higher glory. I don't think the church has yet come to experience the revival of highest glory yet, because it hasn't yet been revealed. Verse 11. For if that which was but passing and fading away came with splendor, how much more must that which remains and is permanent abide in glory and splendor? Since we have such glorious hope and such confident expectation, We speak very freely and openly and fearlessly, Paul said. Nor do we act like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face that the Israelites might not gaze on him, and finish the vanishing splendor which was given to him and was put upon it. Now I'm going to jump to Romans 5:1. Since we are justified or acquitted through faith, now remember that word, we now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Since we are justified or acquitted through what? Here's where we start our journey with faith. How is faith and law connected? We'll see. Verse 2. Through him also we have access or entrance or pass by, you wouldn't believe the word, faith into his grace. That is a state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely can now stand. Through what? And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying this glory of God, which was greater than the one before. Acts 13:39. By Jesus Christ, everyone who believes, that's the exercise of what? Faith. Is justified from all things from which they could not at all be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So are we still on the road of faith? So, being on the road of faith, we have right standing with God. Let me read Romans 10:4 again so we don't lose the thought. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness unto everyone who believes. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and will always reward those who seek him. Romans 8:8 now, bounce back. So then those that are in the flesh, that is self-work, still trying to work it out, not standing in faith in his finished work, but in the flesh doing their thing, cannot please God. Why? Because only faith pleases God. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by... Oh, you wouldn't believe what signposts we have here. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 23. But before, there's the signpost, faith came, we were kept under the law. Kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. So anytime the law is troubling you, what's it telling you? You've lost your way. You've turned off the road. You've missed your last signpost, which was faith in his finished work. Well, let me go back and read verse 23 so we don't get lost here. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which was afterward to be revealed. Therefore, verse 24, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by... So once we're in faith, we're justified in right standing with God. Once we're in faith, when we do sin, like John says, we have an advocate with the Father, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And all we have to do is just admit and keep walking where? On the road of faith. Because the moment we get off that road, oh boy, you're in for a ride now. So, what kind of a ride are you on? Let me describe it to you in Romans 4 or 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Can I say it slower? But to him who does not work. What works are we talking about? For him that doesn't stay on the road of the law, and try to work it all out with God. I'll be better tomorrow. I'll do better. Just give me another chance. What have you discovered with your second chances? And third and fourth, 5 million. Do the same thing over. To him that worketh not, but believes. For him that stays on the road of faith and refuses to go the other route, it is counted to him for righteousness, and he is totally justified by God. So you see, God justifies us because we're on the road of faith. God justifies us because we believe. He doesn't justify us because he's merciful. He doesn't even want to listen to our justifications. Well, God, you know, it was that other person's fault. If I hadn't had a mother that stuck all this inside of me, I wouldn't be this way. If my sister hadn't beat up on me from when I, and my brother hadn't bullied me and said, yeah, I wouldn't have his personality. For him that worketh not, but believeth on him and the work he did, he will be freely justified. And God will count it to him in right standing with himself. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that offenses might abound. And where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Let me read it to you from the Contemporary English Version. The law came so that the full power of sin could be seen and revealed. Yet where sin was powerful, God's kindness and his grace toward mankind was even more powerful. Let me read it to you in the Message. It had a little twist on it that I like. It said, all the passing laws did against sin was produce more lawbreakers. All the passing law could do is produce more lawbreakers. Because now you know what else you did wrong. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Romans 5:21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through God's righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me repeat that, but in a different translation, the New Literal Translation. It says, so just as sin ruled over all the people and brought them to death, spiritual and natural, now God's wonderful grace rules even greater instead and in its place, giving us right standing with God and results in life that not only fills us with fullness here, but gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8 verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, because it had to work through flesh in order to accomplish what it was given to do, God did it by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us through him. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by, here's the signpost, by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Actually, I was in the middle of this, but as I got deeper and deeper into it and went through all my notes in the daily life and went through my notes in the Bible, went through two other devotionals that I have that over the last 20 years I've written a lot of notes in and put tags between verses so that I connected the dots. Without realizing it, I had been making a roadmap of the way God had led me out and navigated me through legalism into his grace, but without it being lasciviousness and without it being such grace that you end up in antinomianism, which is sin all you want because God doesn't care. You see, the problem that I have found throughout that is that although the way is so simple, and God did so much of the work, and I had so little to do, I found my little to do pretty hard, which was to stay in faith. But I realized that it's not only the devil trying to get me off of the road of faith, it's my sin that does it too. And the moment I mess up with God, if I pretend like nothing happened, I'm already walking down another road where now I can be harassed by wolves and eaten up, and it's not until I'm a mess down the road I realize something's wrong here. Sin will get us off the road of simple faith. That is why the best thing to do when you mess up, don't wait but 20 seconds and say, "The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin," while you're still on the road of faith. While you're still in faith. No, I know I messed up, but I'm walking on the finished work of Christ. Yeah, I did mess up, but the Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. So, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm not going to give over to this thing, just live in this thing like nothing happened. Because the longer you stay on that road, the more you're on the road that the devourers can find. They cannot walk on this road of faith. They cannot. They're not given to. They're not allowed to. It's guarded. I think it's, you know how people when they die have said they see a tunnel of light? I think that light is angels that surround it. I think this pathway of faith, angels line it up. So devils can't get in, condemnation can't get in, nothing get in. It's such a beautiful road. But we keep going off of all of these sidetrack roads. The devil sticks up in front of us that really tempts us and it looks really good. And we turn off on that road and oh my God, here goes mess again. And so we don't find the solution until we come back to what? Faith in His finished work. And until we come back there, you can't even feel forgiven. Your conscience isn't forgiven. We're going to cover all of that in the other verses that we'll continue to have. But I will not give you the whole thing ahead of time. We're going to read it here. Because I add all these little comments that are here. My comments come from 27 years of bailing out of trouble. I never realized I had left behind a roadmap I never left with other people. So that's what I'm trying to do here, is leave a roadmap for you where you don't just la la la, we sin and have fun just like the world, but where we do mess up plenty and we have to deal with it. And God sends us the law, and there's no way God's going to talk to you in your devotions when you're in sin. With the loving grace of Jesus, He's going to throw the book at you, and He's not even going to let you see these verses. You're going to have them right here, and you're not going to see them. But boy, are you going to see the one just after that that condemns you and sends you, you know where, to Christ. That's His purpose. I realize that the law doesn't send you to hell, but the law can only send you to Christ. The more you believe the law, the more you'll believe His grace. I said to a person the other day, you know what, all your life you thought you're just a big unbeliever. I said, no, you know what your problem is? You're too much of a believer. You believe everything the devil says to you? You believe so much? I said, you know why you're troubled and so condemned? Because you believe the law. If you were in unbelief, you wouldn't believe the law either. Why do you believe the law so much and you won't believe grace? You know why he can't believe? Because he can't find the road sign. And the road sign is so simple. Faith. Now let me ask you a question. Whose faith is it that you need to find? The Bible says, have the faith of God. So the road to God is marked all along the way. My faith, my work, my righteousness, my faith. And all you got to do is find it and stay on it. Stay on it. When you mess up, come back to God. You know what you're going to hear Christ say to you? He's going to welcome back to the road. Here it's all about me. I didn't sin. This is all about me. I triumphed. You have my triumph. I overcame sin, the devil, and the world. As long as you're here with me, so did you. To be in Christ, it's all about Him. And you know, sort of feels good. It really does feel good. Why don't we do something? Instead of talking about all your ill, why don't we talk about all the self-effort that it took for me to overcome? Why don't we talk about how well I pleased the Father and how well I did? How about some praise here for what I did? Well, I thought I was supposed to repent. My knees aren't raw enough yet. Well, then you need to stand up. Because I don't drag people along this road. We walk together in fellowship. You know, this whole impossible to understand road is really so simple.